Turn with me to our scripture surfing for Thursday and Friday of last week. In your worship bulletin, you'll notice if you're new at this, if you're a guest here today in your worship bulletin, on the inside you'll see something called scripture surfing. And those are your readings for this week. That's your reading that you can spend time with the Lord. You can get alone with Him and get in His Word and just let Him speak to you through those verses this week. But we're going to have some readings from last week's scripture surfing. And we're going to have some readings from last Thursday and Friday's readings. So turn to Hosea chapter 7 with me. And if you're new at this, you just open your Bible to the middle and then go to the right a little bit and you'll see Ezekiel and then Daniel and then you're getting close. Hosea. Hosea chapter 7. Hosea chapter 7, look at verse 16. God's speaking. They do not turn, well, God's word in 16. They do not turn to the Most High. They are like a faulty bow. Their leaders will fall by the sword because of their insolent words. For this they will be ridiculed in the land of Egypt. They do not turn to the Most High. Do you turn to Him in everything? Are you dependent on Him? Look at chapter 8. Look at verse 11 in chapter 8. Though Ephraim built many altars for sin offerings, these have become altars for sinning. And look at Hosea chapter 9. Look at verse 8 in chapter 9. The prophet, along with my God, is the watchman over Ephraim. Yet snares await him on all his paths and hostility in the house of his God. Are you being a watchman for the Lord? Are you bringing His word to people around you? Then look at Hosea chapter 10. Look at verse 13b. Because you have depended on your own strength and on your many warriors, the roar of battle will rise against your people so that all your fortresses will be devastated. As Shalman devastated Beth Arbel in the day of battle. It goes on from there. Why? Because you have depended on your own strength and on your many warriors. You see that? God wants you completely dependent on Him. Continuously. Look at chapter 11, verse 2. But the more I called Israel, the further they went from me. They sacrificed to the Baals, and they burned incense to images. Now turn over to John for our New Testament readings. Turn to John chapter 19. In John 19, Jesus being crucified. Look at verses 2 and 3. And if you're new at this, that's in your New Testament. That's the last third of the Bible. And you'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look at John 19, verses 2 and 3. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him in the face. Jesus, taking your punishment for your sins and mine. And then in chapter 20, look at verse 14. At this, this is Jesus resurrected from the dead. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. Then turn back to Proverbs That's in your Old Testament. Open the Bible to the middle. Go back just a little bit. If you're seeing Psalms, it's the next book. Go forward just a little bit and look at Proverbs 13, verse 4. The sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Then look at chapter 14, verse 1. The wise woman builds her house, but with her own hands the foolish one tears hers down. What's your life looking like? You following God's wisdom and building, or not dependent on Him and tearing down your own life? Well, let's turn to Luke chapter 2, where we'll dive down today. We've been surfing, just having some readings on the surface. Let's dive down a little bit in Luke chapter 2. Look at verses 1 through 7 of Luke chapter 2. That's back in your New Testament, that last third of the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let me ask you this question. As Christmas is quickly approaching, do you have any room? Do you have any room? Let me expand on that a little bit. Two of my favorite restaurants in the world are Outback Steakhouse and Bonefish Grill. I love those restaurants. Anybody like those restaurants? Okay. I love those restaurants. But many times, and I don't go there very often, actually with our staff Christmas party, we just got to go there to Outback, so we were just there. But many times when you go to one of these two restaurants, Outback or Bonefish, many times, let me tell you what is going on. There is no room in the restaurant. And when you get there, what happens when there's no room in a place is everybody gets pushed to the outside. People get pushed to the outside when there's no room. And so many times if you go to Bonefish Grill on a Friday or a Saturday night, you will find people all outside of the building, all over the outside of the restaurant, waiting around. Well, what's going on? There's no room, and so they've been pushed to the outside. You'll see the same thing at Outback. You'll get to Outback and you'll say, yes, a table for Frost, and they'll say, well, it's an hour wait. Go outside. There's no room. And when there's no room, you're pushed to the outside. This is what happened in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Listen to God's word as I read it. Let me pray first. Father, we just thank you for your word, Lord, and just ask that you would apply it to our hearts and our lives, and that you would speak to us powerfully, Lord. Get me out of the way. We need to hear from you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, we see it. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. When there's no room, you get pushed to the outside. There was no room for Jesus at this time, and so he got pushed to the outside, to a manger, to a stable. You know, there's another dynamic that pushes you to the outside. There's something every year, I don't know what they call it these days. My family always calls it the Gravitron. But it's something that, it's a ride that they have at the fair every year. And what happens is you get on this ride, the Gravitron, and my kids love it. It's probably one of their favorite rides. But you get on the Gravitron and you step into this disc, and the inside is a circle. And you go up to one of the walls and you sit in a seat that's right there on the wall. And what happens is they shut the door and then they begin to spin you. And you spin faster and faster and faster. And what happens when you spin faster and faster and faster is the centrifugal force pushes you to the outside. And so because of that force pushing you to the outside, you find yourself stuck on this wall and you can't move the faster it goes. That force is strong and it pushes you to the outside, and then your chair begins to raise up and you begin to, your feet are off the ground and you're just stuck on this wall. That centrifugal force pushed you to the outside. I heard Ron Hutchcraft this past week make an incredible illustration with that, saying that there is an incredible force in every one of our lives that pushes Jesus to the outside. It's stronger than a centrifugal force. But there's a force in every one of our lives, a force working against you in your relationship with the Lord. And there's a force that is pushing Jesus to the outside constantly of your life. He was pushed to the outside at this inn. And there's that force that always pushes him to the outside. And so I want to ask you a couple questions this morning. I want you to evaluate your own life, and I need to evaluate mine. First of all, think about this. Are you pushing Jesus to the outside? Is that force that would push him to the outside, is it winning in your life? Is any of that going on in your life? Pushing Jesus to the outside. And the first question I want to ask is, do you have no room for Jesus? Do you have no room for Jesus? In other words, he's just totally on the outside of your life. Your life is filled up with other things, and there's just not any room left. What happens when a place gets filled? Things get pushed to the outside, don't they? People get pushed to the outside. Maybe that's your life this morning. Do you have no room for him? Is he on the outside because you're filled up with so many other things? You just don't have room for him. Maybe you've done this on purpose. Maybe you've kept him at arm's length, and you know that he's tried to get into your life. And you know through prayers that people have said, and you know his good news that he's died for all your sins and he's raised from the dead, and he wants you to give your life to him. He wants you to completely invite you inside and just say, Jesus, I have all the room in the world for you. Take over my life. It's yours. Maybe you know that, but you've kept him at arm's length, and maybe you have chosen to keep him on the outside of your life. And the danger there is that you'll die in your sins. Remember the first thing we read when we came in this service this morning? His name will be Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That's what he came for. And if you keep him at arm's length, you'll die in your sins. You'll pay your own penalty of death and hell. But you know, you can even be a believer and you can have received him and given your life to him. But right now, as you look at your life, you may say, I don't have any room for him, or I haven't had any room for him. I'm filled up with other things. I've got Christmas coming. There's shopping and there's baking and there's entertaining to do. And I just haven't had time for Jesus. And all he wants is to be with you. But maybe you've pushed him to the outside because you've been filled with other things. Or maybe this is you. Maybe, let me ask you this question. Do you have some room for him? Maybe you realized, well, I haven't totally pushed him out this Christmas. So maybe you need to answer this question. Do you have some room for him? Maybe you're saying, well, I don't have no room for him. I have some room for him. And maybe that means that you let him in every now and then. You're letting him in right now. Maybe you decided, I'm coming to church this morning. Nothing's going to stop me. And you're letting him in right now. But maybe pretty soon after you leave here, maybe you'll be filled up with other things again and you'll push him out again. Do you have some room for him? The innkeeper said, well, there's no room in here, but I have some room. There's a stable out here. Maybe you have some room for him today. But maybe that's still not good enough for you. And what you want this morning is you want to be able to answer this question with a yes. Do you have all room for him? Do you have all the room for him? In other words, have you worked against that force and maybe right now you're making him a priority and you're saying, you know what, Jesus, you're more important to me than everything. Everything in my life. Christmas, my family, my job, the things I love the most in life. You know what, Jesus, you're more important to me than everything. So you know what? Right now, Lord, I clear a spot completely for you. And I empty myself completely of even all the good things that you've called me to. I push them all aside and I completely open myself up to you. And I tell you, Jesus, I have all the room for you. I'm completely open to you. Do you have all the room for him? Are you putting him first in everything? Is he your priority above everything? Do you have all the room for him? I love this visual picture. And so I want you to imagine this with me. I've heard it many times with people talking about time management. I wish I had brought one with me, but I want you to imagine a jar. Just a big empty glass jar. And then a big rock that'll barely fit in the mouth of that jar. And that big rock that'll barely fit in the mouth of the jar, that's Jesus. And that's your relationship with him. And the size of the rock represents how important it is. And so it's the biggest rock you've got. He's the most important. So it barely fits in there. And then let's say that everything else in your life, every other relationship and every other task and everything else on your crowded schedule, those are all other size rocks. And the more important they are, the bigger they are. The more important the people are in your life, the bigger the rocks are. And the more important the tasks are, the bigger they are. But none of them are as big as that one. And so, you can either have no room for him, for Jesus, and you can let your schedule be filled with things that you are busy with. And those are all rocks, and they're all good, and they're probably, a lot of them are probably good things that the Lord wants and would desire. And so you begin to fill that jar with those rocks. And the jar fills up, and the bigger the rocks, you put them in, and that jar fills up. And pretty soon, there's no room. There's no way you could get that big rock in there. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you have no room for Jesus, or that's how you've been living. Maybe he's been the leftovers. Maybe you've done everything else that needed to be done, and then there was no room left. And so you say, well, tomorrow, Lord, I'll spend some time with you. And that precious time alone with him that he desires and that is the answer to life and that everything you need, that he has. But there's no room. Or maybe you have some room, and maybe you put some of the rocks in first, and then you try to get Jesus in, and he gets in there, but there's a lot of it still sticking out. You can't put the cap on. And it's not adequate for that rock. The jar's not adequate to hold it. Maybe that's how you feel. You know you spend some time with Jesus, but you know it's just not what it should be. You know your relationship with him just isn't what it should be. Because you know a lot of it's just leftover time. And you know a lot of it's the time you have here and it's the time you have there. And your relationship just isn't what you want it to be with him. And you know it's not what he wants. You know he wants a lot more. And maybe that's you. You have some room. Or finally, maybe you have all the room. Maybe you don't put anything in that jar because you love him more than anything. And so maybe you just keep it empty, or maybe you dump it out and you just empty it out. And maybe you just have an empty jar and you just say, Jesus, I'm completely empty. You're coming in first. Come on in. However much time you want to spend with me, here I am, Lord. Let's do it. Let's have some time together. What? 5 o'clock? You want me to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning? I don't know about this, Lord. Hold on. I got a few other rocks I need to put in. I don't know what it'll be for you. I don't know what he'll tell you if you do that. I don't know what'll happen. But maybe your heart this morning is to empty everything and just say, Jesus, I put you in. You take all of me, whatever you want. It's all up to you. And you know what? Since I'm empty and it's just all you, I guess once I get filled with you, then I guess you're just going to take care of everything else, which is the truth. Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you as well. And so you see, God's secret is, God's key is, if you give all to him and you empty it all out and you just put him in and you just give him whatever he wants and you just give yourself completely to him, he'll take care of all the rest. He'll put in whatever else needs to be there, and it'll all fit just right. Pray with me. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for the privilege that you, the God of the universe, desire to spend time with me, to spend time with each person here. Lord, help us to hear your voice and hear your call. And Lord, once again, if there's anybody that's not let you in, Lord, thank you for giving them this opportunity this morning. I thank you that they have a chance. Lord, help them to decide for you. Lord, if they don't know you yet, Lord, help them to say, Lord, I'm broken. I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. I need you. Lord, I want to give you all my life. Lord, I'm choosing this morning to be empty, Lord. I'm totally empty. I'm a sinner. I know my penalty is death and hell. And Jesus, thank you for being the Savior for my sins. Thank you for dying for me. I believe you. I believe you were raised from the dead, and I call on you. Jesus, save me. Come into my life. I'm completely empty and I'm yours. Lord, I thank you that anybody who's prayed that with their heart, that you've done it, Lord. Thank you that you are with them. You'll never leave them. You'll never forsake them. Lord, help them to quickly follow you, Lord, in baptism. Grow in you, Lord. Lord, maybe there's others that are looking for a church home, Lord, they know it's your will that they connect to a fellowship, that they be a member of a fellowship, a body of believers. And Lord, so if you're speaking to anybody in that area and you're telling them that this is the place, this is your family, this is where you are to connect, Lord, if you're telling anybody that, Lord, may they respond and hear your voice. And during this song, may they step out of their seat and come and join your fellowship here, Lord. Lord, maybe there are others that just want to come to you and they want to confess where they've been in these areas. And maybe there are others that just want to completely empty out the jar and say, Lord, I turn it upside down. I take everything out because I want to be empty for you. Jesus, I want to give you all the room. And I say, come, Lord Jesus, come. Fill me completely with yourself. And I thank you that you'll take care of the rest. Help me to live this way, Lord, and do this often. Be filled with you often as it takes, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, however God is speaking to your heart, you respond to him. If it's to join this church, you come. If it's to let us all know you've received the Lord, you've given your life to him, he saved you from your sins, and you want to be baptized, you come, you make that known. And maybe there's something else that he's telling you. If you want to come and share that, you come and share that. If you need prayer, you come and get prayer. If you want to pray at the altar, we pray at the altar. If you want to get these things right with the Lord, you can pray at your seat right there. You can get on your knees at your seat if you want. But do whatever the Lord tells you, as Chris leads us in this song.